referred to the drama swirling around him as Shakespearean, he might well have been describing the bard's obsession with this very theme, in which a ruler disregards his subjects and answers only to the demands of his own ego. A familiar tragic character in Shakespeare, Lear, Henry IV, Macbeth, Richard II, Richard III, is the monarch whose power is such that he bends the truth itself to suit his will. Perhaps that accounts in some part for what is clearly Eisner's most glaring defect, the one quality more than any other that has caused him to leave behind a trail of deeply embittered former colleagues, his dishonesty. Considering the importance Eisner places on honesty in others, dating at least to the childhood incident in which he believes his mother lied about his bedtime, it is extraordinary that Eisner himself has been so reckless with the truth, in ways both large and small, to a degree that suggests he is at times incapable of distinguishing one from the other. Far more than just a personality quirk, Eisner's tendency to distort, embellish, or forget the truth had direct and costly business consequences for Disney. More than any other single factor, what Steve Jobs and the Weinstein brothers considered Eisner's dishonesty accounts for the failure of the important Pixar and Miramax relationships. Katzenberg was so angry and bitter and willing to sue because he believed he was lied to and felt betrayed. Like so many others emboldened by power, Eisner ultimately sealed his fate by overreaching. He lost a critical ally when Sid Bass, humbled by the post-September 11, 2001 collapse of technology stocks, divested his huge stake in Disney. And then Eisner turned against the one other check on his power, Roy Disney, embracing the effort to force Roy off the board. Eisner failed to recognize both the determination of Walt's long underestimated nephew and the strength of a growing national movement of shareholder democracy activists, which led to Eisner's humiliating repudiation by 45% of Disney's shareholders. In the wake of the vote, even the Disney board had to face its responsibilities to shareholders and not just to Eisner. Perhaps most of all, Eisner underestimated the power of the Disney name. Eisner may have taken the place of Walt Disney before a weekly national television audience, but in the public imagination, there was only one Disney. Roy emerged as the guardian of Walt Disney's creative flame, the champion of the Disney faithful. "It's the Disney name," Eisner exclaimed in exasperation to Diane Miller, seemingly oblivious to the fact that Diane herself is Walt's daughter and has proudly kept Disney as her middle name. And so Eisner will go, perhaps on his own terms, perhaps not. A new era at Disney will begin. New generations of children and their parents will discover and be enchanted by Snow White, Cinderella, The Little Mermaid, and Beauty and the Beast. The Lion King, the musical, will be playing to packed houses. Glenn Close will still adore fur as Cruella de Vil. Johnny Depp will ride the high seas as Captain Jack Sparrow, and M. Night Shyamalan will find new twists to the supernatural. Visitors to Disney's theme parks will feel the gravitational pull of the moon as they head toward Mars, and will soon come face to face with the abominable snowman of the Himalayas. And somewhere, in Orlando perhaps, or Anaheim,